me to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit, which lived inside of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus said before he ascended unto the Father and back to heaven to sit on the right hand and sit in glory and power and intercede for us, he said, I will send the Comforter unto you. He shall teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things that I say. That Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the teacher. That's the only teacher any of us need. So what am I doing here, Ray? We can guide someone to where the truth is, point them in the scriptures to where, how it connects. But other than that, the teacher is Jesus Christ, and the teacher is the Holy Spirit all day long. No man is important. No man is to be elevated. No man means anything. What we owe each other is love. Jesus said it. Owe no man nothing but to love him. Amen?
Amen.
So, I went through all of that to say that, as we already know, the scriptures, there's no elevated people. I'm just like you. We all love each other. We should love one another. If we don't, I want you to know that I love you, brothers. And it's a pleasure to be here in the company of those who are seeking our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to get into the Word and let the teacher, the Holy Spirit, teach us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you have your Bibles, because we turn a lot of places. Because that teacher has you look upon the Word so that you see it with your own eyes, so no man can deceive you. I can tell you anything, and if you didn't look at it yourself, you'll walk out of here believing anything. Amen? So we don't want to do that, right? All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into this. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord. I ask that you remove me, Father, and allow that Spirit that teaches us all to come forth now, Father, and teach. Teach your people, Lord. You know the people in the room. You know their needs, Father. I ask that those needs be met. You know my needs, Father. I ask that the Word minister unto me as well as them, Lord. Heavenly Father, continue to give us a humble and contrite spirit, which is able to receive your word, Father, and we thank you for it right now. If it be anything in any of us that will receive us from, prevent us from receiving that word, Father, I ask that it be removed right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I sat all next to you all this time.
Oh, praise God. It's no big deal. We're just brothers in Christ, right? So what I just said, you know. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the way he taught when he was here, he always asked questions. And the reason he asked people questions to get them to use their own minds, to think, to break down the word so they get comprehension. So, just like my Lord and Savior, I follow in his footsteps. So I have a question. Have you ever had something happen good in your life? It's about a show of hands, anybody? Okay. Have you ever had anything happen bad in your life? Today, what we're going to be sharing with you is going to help you with comfort concerning any of those things, the good and the bad. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
First Kings chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 9. I want you to follow with me. How you doing, Brother Lee? Here goes. You got it?
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to wait.
368 in the red book.
Say again? 368 in the red book? Okay, one more problem.
1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9.
Verse 9. 1 Kings.
390 in the red Bible.
390 in the red Bible. Okay? All right, here we go. It reads, Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of your enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Notice here that, just to bring you up to speed, Solomon is the son of King David. And Solomon was taking over the kingship, and instead of asking, God told him he could ask for whatever he wanted, but he asked for wisdom that he may be able to govern God's people and direct them in a proper way. Also with that, God gave him all the things he didn't even ask for. He gave him some riches and some honor and lengthen his days if he continued to live his life according to God's will. The reason why I mention this, tonight's sermon is called God's Perfect Plan. Each and every one of us have had good things happen in our lives, and we've had bad things happen in our lives. And a lot of us have questions to why these things have occurred. But I'm here to encourage you and let you know through the Word of God that everything has a purpose and a reason. There's no mistakes. Last time I was here, I preached a potter and the clay. And the potter and the clay, this is the backup to that one, because the potter and the clay says that no one has a right to tell God, which is the potter, and you're the clay, in what capacity to use them. Amen? None of us have a right to tell God, I don't want to be rich and have to share and bless the poor. Amen? You can't say also, I don't want to be the lowly, humble guy that stands on the corner with the staff and don't have no money. But the Bible says, being poor but yet making many rich through the word of God. Amen? You don't have a right to tell God that you don't want to be that guy. He has a perfect plan for your life. And the problem we get into is we tend to want something for ourselves. I mean, we want to govern our own life, and we think we can plan it better than God. Maybe that's the way I should phrase it. We want to think that we can plan our lives better than God. Now, the Bible says that Satan is the deceiver of this world and has deceived this entire world. He didn't say he was going to. He says he has. So from the time you and I popped out of our mother's womb, we were deceived. This world, the Bible taught us, the last several times I've been here, I taught that, according to the Bible, that Satan is the god of this world. You all know this, right? And being the god of this world, everything in this world is used to his at his disposal to manipulate and deceive and pull us further away from God. I got a quick question for you. If I gave you $1 million, you got $1 million in your hand, and you got eternal life right here, How valuable is the $1 million? Not very valuable, is it? You got the most beautiful woman you ever dreamed of right here in your capacity. And then you got eternal life. How valuable is a beautiful woman? Not very valuable. See, this is the little tool I use to help me decide to get back to square one. Because what we do is we've been deceived. We've been told these things are important. So we covet after them. We chase after them. We spend our entire life chasing after something that has no eternal life connected to it. There's no salvation connected to it. But yet we spend a lot of time wasting time because the enemy told us it's important and the world tells us it's important. So we chase after it. So what we have to do is strip away the lies through the truth of the word. The Bible says the truth will make you free. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get free. Okay? Solomon is my first example of someone who received some good things, right? But God has a perfect plan for our lives. Turn to the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 1. Book of Job, chapter 1. Chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. First verse, it says, "There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." Okay, we got Job. We hear a testimony about Job. Job is a servant of Jesus Christ, right? There's no doubt about that. He's a servant of God. It says it. Job also, for his life at this time, he has great wealth. It tells us he has a loving family, he has lots of money, has plenty of things in his capacity, right? Let's see what happens next. Look down to verse 13. 13, same chapter, Job chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read through 21. "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Let me stop right there for 1 second. All of a sudden, when we just talked about good things and bad things happening, good things and bad things happen in our lives, right? God has a perfect plan for our lives. But yet, good things and bad things happen in our lives. We got questions about those good things and bad things. But it's a perfect plan. God has a perfect reason for everything. All of a sudden, thieves come and they killed all of his servants and took a lot of his wealth. Ain't that what we just read? Let's continue to read. Look what happens. Verse 16. "While he was yet speaking," the first messenger is still speaking to Job. He's telling him this first hardship that just came upon Job. "While he's yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." There goes more of his wealth, right? All of his sheep just got destroyed. Let's look what happened. Verse 17. "While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell thee." Did a day pass yet? Did a few minutes pass? It's coming, right? Look at this. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. Good and bad times, God's perfect plan. Do you think Job was expecting any of this? He wasn't expecting any of this. And I bet he asked him questions, just like you and I. Why did I go through this? Why am I going through this? Why did this happen to me? Why am I in Wayside? Why did I make the decision to do this? Why did I do that? I got some comfort for you today. Everything happens for a reason. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. God has a perfect plan for your lives. It doesn't make sense to you and I, little simple human minds, but who can think like God? Amen? He has a perfect plan. That's what I want to show you today. We're going to continue. Look what it says here. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped. Look at the first thing he did. In spite of everything that happened, he worshipped God. Do you do that when things go bad? When things are good, do you even acknowledge God? Most people don't. When they got it good, they ain't thinking about God. They counting how fat their stack is. They with that woman, giving that woman all the attention and time. Giving the kids all the energy and time. What about God? I got it good. I don't need God right now. That's a mistake. God has a perfect plan for our lives. A perfect plan. Job falls down and worships him. Look what he says. Wisdom comes out of his mouth. He says, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many of us would curse God or have cursed God when bad times come. I'm not here to cause any guilt or anything or whatever, because what we're doing is looking to understand what it is to be a servant of Jesus Christ for real. To stop playing games, stop telling ourselves, being told old wives' fables and having religious people come in here and tell us a bunch of garbage. We want the truth. Amen? Let's get the truth. Holy Spirit can teach it to us. It's right in His Word. Look what it says. I want you to look in chapter 2 of Job. We're going to jump down to chapter 2 of Job. Chapter 2 of Job, starting at verse 4. And Satan said unto the Lord, and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life, but forth thine hand, that hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hands, but save his life. Real quick question. Didn't I say that God has a perfect plan? We got God telling Satan it's okay to go and mess with his servant. You think that's for your benefit, or he's trying to punish you? It's for your benefit, brother. God is in a loving business, not in the punishment business. It's for your benefit. It's for your own good. You don't stop your kid from not running the street. You don't spank him because you're trying to punish him. You stop him because you love him. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hold on. Hold it. All right. Look what it says here. And then, so went Satan, verse 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with her, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain your integrity, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest one of those foolish women. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Couple of things. One, Satan was allowed also to attack Job's body with boils and everything. Here's Job, a servant of Jesus Christ. Just a recap. I'm serving God, and bad things are happening to me. All my wealth just got taken. My kids died. My land is affected. Everything. Now my body's got disease on it. And my wife that I asked the Lord for is telling me to curse God and die. How much? Come on, is this bad? This is bad stuff, right? This is bad stuff happening. And I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. So this ain't punishment. It's got to have a bigger purpose, right? It's, God has a perfect plan for your life. A perfect plan. Watch this. Good or bad, good or bad things happen in your life. Turn with me here to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. God has a perfect plan for our lives. Why are you looking for that? Philippians is in the New Testament, of course, in the back of the book. First of all, those of you who don't know the story of Job, of course, when God got through with him, it said that he prospered after the latter part of Job was better than his past. So he was in a better situation than all the stuff that he lost. God did greater things for him than that. So it had a purpose, okay? Good times and bad times, it had a purpose behind it. You and I would sit back and say, you know, why? Why would I have to go through that? Go ahead, brother. What's your question?
I was going to reference James chapter 1 verses...
I'm going there, so
2, 3, and 4.
Don't jump ahead of me. We're going there. All right, good stuff, though, and I love it. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 18. Look what this says. Doing all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and services of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. This is Paul writing here. He says, no matter whether the good things or the bad things come, verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Without murmuring and disputing. Bad things happen, but understand that God loves you and it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. Amen? It can get easy to start complaining about things going bad. It can get easy to start having a pity party, starting to tell yourself, man, if I wouldn't have done this or if I wouldn't have done that. If you did this or that, has nothing to do with why you're going through what you're going through. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's for a reason. It has a reason behind it. And we're going somewhere with this. Turn with me. I want to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at some more bad things that happened to Paul, okay? We're going to look at some bad things. Then we're going to get off this bad thing for a little while because it's starting to get a little heavy. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 31. 23 through 31. And it reads, Are they ministers of Christ? This is Paul speaking. He's going to tell us that while you got a bunch of religious folks walking around trying to build themselves up, religious preachers or whoever, trying to make themselves elevated, bigger than somebody else, he says, I don't speak like this, he says, but let me act a little silly too. Let me be silly like them, okay? So he's going to tell us a few things. Look what he said. He says, are they ministers? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of heathens, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst, in fasting oft, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, that without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, know that I lie not. Here's Paul telling us, he gave us a list of all the stuff he went through. He went through a lot of stuff, a lot of bad stuff. He's a servant of Jesus Christ, right? Paul was used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. That's a pretty big honor. He wrote more than half of the New Testament that you and I are supposed to live by. But yet, this brother went through all these things. You sit back and say, why does he have to go through this? Why? Let's see. Philippians chapter 1. I love this. This now we're getting to the answers. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12 and 4 through 14. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. He says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, he's talking to you and I, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He went through all of that so that the gospel might be preached. He was thrown in prison and shipped off to Rome, so the gospel was preached in Rome. You would say, how come he just didn't take a boat there? The people today got jet planes and live planes. God's perfect plan. God had him arrested, allowed him to be arrested, and they ship all of the prison mates to Caesar to be tried. They send them off to Rome. Why was he locked up and sent into prison? You and I say, I don't want to travel that way. But it ain't your decision. Amen? God has a perfect plan for our lives. He got arrested and all these things so God's plan would be fulfilled. The gospel needed to be preached in Rome, in front of kings and big officials. The gospel had to get to them. How does it get there? You think they letting a messenger of God walk in and preach to them? He had to send a prisoner, someone who they had to try. And he had to be able to speak on his behalf in front of these great officials. And they heard the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
God made sense out of all the garbage he went through. He went through all of that the gospel may go forth. Amen? That's a perfect plan for your life. It doesn't make any sense to you, but it makes sense to him. And what he does for our lives is more beneficial for our lives than what we can do for ourselves. Amen? Let's look at some more of this good stuff. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 8. Book of Mark, chapter 8. Now we're just going to get into why things. I mean, the goodness of why we go through what we go through. God has a reason for everything that we go through. You know? I just recently went through a divorce. My kids got separated from me and all this stuff. And for a second, I'm sitting back saying, wait a minute, I'm living my life for you, God. Why is this happening? But you know why it happened? That I might be standing here before you right now preaching the gospel. I was too distracted. My time was consumed with a woman. I still spend time. I still got my kids. Still got everything else. But I was pulled away from this. I preached, but not like I'm doing now. Not like what's going on in Aurora, brother. It has a purpose. And I can't speak for you all, but I'm delighted that God is doing what he's doing in my life. I wouldn't go back, I can tell you that. You know, that woman ain't got no salvation for me. But Jesus Christ do. Jesus Christ do. Chapter 8, Mark, here we go. Verse 31. Look at this. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he rejected and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after the third day rise again. And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He's saying, what are you talking about, man? You talking about that you must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed? Why did Jesus got to go through all of this? You ever thought about that? Why does Jesus Christ have to go through all of this? God's perfect plan. It was the only way for you and I to have eternal life. Somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb. If you were a human being right now and had to die for the sins of the world, how would you feel about that? Amen. Most people, what? This don't make no sense. I ain't dying for nobody. God's perfect plan doesn't make any sense to us. You and I sit back and say, why would he have his son go through all of that? You don't need to know why. Just know that he knows what he's doing. Amen? He knows what he's doing. So Peter tried to talk him out of it. And Christ's response to him was, Peter began to rebuke him, and Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan, who was trying to take over Peter. For thou savorest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. See, he was thinking as a man. You and I think from a flesh standpoint and from a man standpoint, we need to come into the understanding of Jesus Christ and understand from a God standpoint. We've been lied to and told to do things this way or that way. God says that was a lie. This is the truth. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Now, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. See, I want you to get this. We have to adapt the mind of Jesus Christ. We have to understand that everything in our lives happens for a reason. We have to learn to not complain about what we can do. We also have to learn to forgive ourselves because Satan wants to harp on it and say, if you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't be here. No, you're here because you're supposed to be here. It's part of God's wonderful plan for you. This might be the thing, not if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been here. No, you were supposed to do that so that you would appreciate God more when he brings you into what you were really here for. He's going to make every last one of you ministers of reconciliation unto God. The Bible says so. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we become witnesses for him. Then we are sent out into the world to help others find their way back to God. What better way to use you? Amen? You might have something else planned for your life, but God's plan is better. And it pays better, too. Because come judgment day, there's something attached to it called eternal life. It ain't nothing attached to what you got planned for you. Go ahead, bro.
I just wanted to ask a question. Because I might be wrong, but I got a problem with believing that it was God's plan for me to choose to be a drug addict or an alcoholic.
That's why we're gonna address some more, and that's okay. It's okay for you to have that. That's why we got all of these wonderful examples in the Bible about what doesn't make sense to you and I makes sense to God. Amen? That's why I wanted you to grab your Bible so you can.
I gotta get some reading glasses.
Okay, so we can see it ourselves. We ain't making this stuff up. Now, look at here. Turn to the book of Luke for me. Look, Luke chapter 20. Actually, I'm gonna read this one. Okay, then I'm gonna take you somewhere else. Luke chapter 24, verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day, and they remembered his words. Later on, he shared this with them in advance, but they didn't get it until he actually had done it. You see what I mean? You won't understand why you went through this until you're on the other side, brother. His disciples didn't understand why he was saying he had to go through those things until he was risen and talking to them and told them he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them on the Pentecost and write his laws in their hearts and in their minds on the day of Pentecost. They didn't get it until later. You won't get it until later either.
Don't they go against us having free will, though?
It does not.
Whenever I've been asked, the difference between, free will and predestination and stuff like that, just because God knows what we're going to do beforehand doesn't mean he's made us do it.
No. He doesn't make us do anything.
He doesn't violate our free will. He just knows what we're going to do.
He knows what we're going to do, and all of it's in his divine plan. He knows what you're going to do before you even do it. And he also knows the way back out. You all are jumping ahead of me, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to go ahead and talk with you. Here's the thing. Look at this. Here is Paul killing Christians. You all know this, right? Paul walking around killing Christians. He's religious. He believes in God, and he thinks that anyone who's preaching Jesus Christ is doing something wrong. So he has them killed. Amen? You with me? Now he's walking on the road to Damascus on his way to kill some more Christians. And because he is a chosen vessel unto God, God's perfect plan, he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows his purpose for your life. I got a question for you. Does everyone belong to God, and is everyone going to make it to heaven? Absolutely not, and I'm glad you said that, because that's a fact. The Bible says so. He says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and a stranger they will not follow. But guess what? Also, this same God says that Pharaoh wanted to give up when the plagues came against him in Egypt because they wouldn't let the children of Israel go, and it said God hardened his heart. Why would God harden somebody's heart? They don't belong to him. He chooses some vessels unto destruction and some unto honor. Amen? God has a perfect plan for your life. Whether you're the one that's supposed to be destroyed or the one that you receive eternal life. I'm talking to the brothers who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the brothers that have not, because God has a perfect plan for your life. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that plan is the best thing for you. And if you haven't, you ain't got a choice anyway, because you're not His. You're going to make somebody, how you going to make yourself something that you ain't? Am I right? If you belong to the devil, you belong to the devil. But none of us in here are, otherwise you couldn't even sit in this room. You'd be knocking that door down right there. The Bible says that the devils tremble in fear in the presence of God and the word of God. They don't want to hear it. They can't stand it. So don't let the devil pitch you that garbage. Otherwise you couldn't sit in here. So God has a perfect plan for your life. He has a reason for your life. You know, Mary Magdalene didn't like the fact that she was a prostitute and had seven devils in her. She couldn't understand that God would allow that to happen. But yet, the very first person Christ showed himself to was Mary. So, again, with our little feeble human minds, it doesn't make sense to us. But God has a perfect plan for your life. I don't see why God would let me end up on drugs. No, God didn't let you end up on drugs. God knew you was going to get on drugs, but he also knew he was going to help you out of it. And he also knew that he was going to take the thing that the people in the world says that can't bring forth nothing, and he would take that thing to confound the wise. He would take the smaller things in the earth and make them do great things.
It
was your choice to make those decisions. Oh yeah, I didn't say God ain't got no puppets. I said he has a perfect plan for our lives. He has a perfect plan for your life. The things you go through, he already knew you were going to go through them. Here's another example real quick without me even going to my scriptures. I don't like to just preach. I like for us to look and read it. But here's another example. Jesus Christ told Peter, he says, they're going to come for me tonight. He says, y'all going to betray me this night. Peter emphatically said, no way, brother. If I got to die, I'm not going to betray you. And Jesus told him something that you don't, like you just said right now, that you don't know why. He says, you're going to deny me three times, brother. He's telling him stuff about himself he don't even know, because he knows your life better than you do. You understand? He has a perfect plan for your life. He said to Peter, he says, you're going to deny me three times. But then he told him later, he says, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Satan wants you, Peter. He says, but I prayed for you. And when you are strengthened, when you come to me, strengthen the brother. He already told him what his destiny was. Amen? He told him, you're going to make it through wayside. You understand? You're going to get off drugs. You're going to deny me, but you're going to come back. See that? He knows your life better than you do. Amen? Okay. Now let's look at some for ourselves. Amen? Let's look at some more of this ourselves. I just want to address that. You asked the question. So here's the thing. Look at this. This is a wonderful one. Turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. This is too cool. I'm going to bring you up to speed. This is Genesis chapter 45. We're going to start at verse 5 through 8. Joseph, you know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph was sold into slavery. Actually, his brothers tried to kill him. Excuse me. Thank you. His brothers tried to kill him out of jealousy. His brothers tried to kill him. They failed the attempt on his life. You said, Max, why is his brothers trying to kill him? Exactly. Why? To you and I, it doesn't make no sense. God knew, though. This guy, brothers tried to kill him. They failed attempts. He's in the bottom of a well, still alive. Ugh. They hear some people coming, knowing if they find this dude alive and he tells that they try to kill him, his father's going to deal with him. So they said, we got to get rid of him completely. So they sold him into slavery. He's in slavery. He's going through some bad stuff, right? This guy sold into slavery by his brothers. Tried to kill him, sold into slavery. From that, he goes to jail. Right out of slavery, now he's thrown in prison. He finds favor for a minute. God knew he was going to find favor with the jailer. The slave master made him, he made him a slave in his house, so he had a better position as a slave. And then the dude's wife starts digging him and saying, man, he kind of cute. He was a good-looking cat. So she's trying to hit up on him, trying to give him some. And he's saying, I can't do that to my master. I don't want none of that. Put that away, girl. Right. You know? And then the chick gets upset because he won't take it, because the average guy in the world is going to try to take it anyway. He don't want none. He said, put that up. I'm an honorable man. I don't want none of your stuff. She lies on him. And the master that he had found favor with throws him in jail now. Now he's in jail. Look at all this nonsense that's happened in his life. It don't make no sense. He goes through all this. You know, he got on drugs or whatever. He's going through all of this, but it has a purpose. God has a perfect plan. And we're going to read the perfect plan. That's why I'm setting up the story here. Then, because he had the ability to read dreams, and he read some people's dreams in jail, and one of the guys got killed, and the other guy got favor, he told him, tell the king, remember me when you get out of here, because I'm still in jail. Remember me when you get out of here, and tell the king, you know, about me. Try to get me some leniency since I'm up in this jail. The king has a problem with some dreams that troubled him. He called for his little wise men. The wise men can't answer his questions for him. He's about to kill all the wise men in the kingdom. And then the guy, the baker, says, you know what? It's a guy in jail that knows how to read dreams. God has a perfect plan for our lives. You sitting in the jail and the king calls you out of the jail to read his dreams. Perfect plan for your lives. Not the way you would have planned it. I would have rather not been in jail. You know? But God has a perfect plan. He gets out of jail and he goes and he reads the king's dreams. The king is so pleased, he makes him the second most powerful person in the kingdom. Now let's read the conclusion of this story. Look at this. Verse 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5 through 8. Now therefore, this is him talking to his brothers, the ones who sold him into slavery, the ones who tried to kill him. He says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be ear nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He's telling them, y'all sold me into slavery, but God had it happen so that I can preserve your life later. See that? God's perfect plan. He went through this for a reason. Look at this. So now it was not you that sent me hither. Look at that. But God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Look at that. The thing that I want us to understand is while you did do something wrong, while things did go bad in your life, don't harp on them. Don't waste no time with that. Don't give the devil no energy. The God we serve says he forgives you. You confess your sins from your heart, confess them unto God, and he says he forgives you of your sins and will not bring them up in this world, neither the world to come. So come judgment day, unlike some people teach, it ain't going to be no, I'm going to tell you about the times you did wrong. When you confess that and gave it to God, it ain't no more times that you did wrong. He doesn't even see you like that no more. You're clean. You wiped up. You got to forgive yourself. If you want to walk around and still carry that baggage, it's just you carrying it. It ain't God. God cleans it up. This world don't clean it up. This world ain't very forgiving. You walk out of here, they want to tell you, he was an addict. you can't work here. You know what I mean? But here's the cool thing. This God we serve surpasses all of this stupidity in this world. Somebody will walk out of here where normally an addict wouldn't get a chance to do this or that. That addict will be the boss of all the people that think they're going to look down on an ex-addict. This is the God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to start believing and knowing what God says about you and stop believing what the world says about you. Satan has lied to us. He told you if you've been to prison or if you did something bad or whatever, you ain't got a chance after you come out. You got that record, man. My life is over. I got that record. That's a lie. That's a lie. This dude just came out of jail. He was made the most powerful guy in Egypt. Don't fall for the okie-doke. Y'all got to quit. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to what God says about you. He has a perfect plan for our lives, all of us. We go through what we go through for a reason. God's perfect plan. Amen? Now, let's conclude with this. Look at verse 50. 50. Same Genesis chapter 50. Look at this. I love this. This really, really blessed me. This is Joseph still talking. I just talked Genesis chapter 50, verse 18 through 20. Look what it says. It says, and his brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is in this day, to save much people alive. God's perfect plan. He has a perfect plan. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. What you went through and what you're going through right now, what you think is so bad, is so evil, God has something good coming out of it. You may not see it now, just trust it. Don't worry about it. We don't walk by sight anyway. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
We don't walk by what we see. Well, look at me now, man. Look, I ain't got. I want to hear what you ain't got. Believe what God says about you. That's what I want you to get. Believe what he says. The Bible says if you can believe, then God can do all things for you. If you can believe it. But you got to believe it. This ain't some psych thing. You know, you see all these retarded shows that try to get people brainwashed. This ain't one of those things. This is the living word of God. This is the only book on the entire earth that actually the content of it, when you read it and put it in your body and learn it, that it changes your entire life. It does something that surpasses anything down here on this earth. It does great and wonderful things. It changes people. And not so that they can fit back into this fouled up world. Most people want to get you ready so you can go back out there. What's out there? The same thing that got you in here, a bunch of mess. When you walk out here, you don't want to get out of here so you can go back out there. You want to walk out here so you can be out there but not of there. The Bible says be in the world but not of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get this in your head. You've gotten a lot of other things in your head, and they ain't worked out for you. Get this in your head, and I promise you something's going to change.
Amen.
Amen? Get this in your head. I dare you. It's going to work out for you. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm almost done here. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. This is what I just shared with you. Believe what God says about you. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is Paul talking. He's saying, I ain't there all the way yet. You ain't going to get yourself ready for God. God's going to get you ready. So don't try to be like, well, once I get this together, then God can do this with me. No. God is doing it the whole time. It's his perfect plan. Amen? So look what he says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You have to forget what you did. You can't hang on to it. You have to forget what you did. I hurt my family. Yes, you did. Forget it. Focus on Jesus Christ. They'll forgive you. But I stole from Zona. Yes, you did. Focus on Jesus Christ, and they'll forgive you. You understand? Forget those things that were behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. You guys know some of this. You study all the time. You got guys, I know there's Bible study going on in here all the time. You got enough word to keep you going. You got enough word right now. Just cultivate that word. Grow it some more. Spend time in that word. And more importantly, after you have the word, apply the word. It's very important, the application. If I know something and I still don't do it, what good is it? You know? I know if I go hang with some of my old buddies, I might end up in the same thing. So don't do it. You know? I know fornication is wrong. So when that little honey start batting her eyes or something, say, hey, baby, I think you're fine and everything, can't do it. No? You know, maybe if you knew Jesus Christ, maybe we can get married or something one day, but we can't be unequally yoked, so you're cute, but that ain't enough. Get to know Jesus, maybe we'll get a chance. Huh? Right? Maybe she got a shot then. She ain't got no shot if she don't need know Jesus Christ. Because she ain't nothing but a snare and a trap for you. Amen? All right. Look at here. In God's perfect plan, the Bible of the Bible have to come. In God's perfect plan, the Bible, the words of the Bible have to come true. Why are you here at Wayside? God's perfect plan has a reason. Why were you separated from your family? God's perfect plan has a reason. Why are you surrounded and loved and loved by your family? Because some of y'all still have the love and support of your family. Amen. Good and bad, right? Remember I said we talk about good and bad things? That's for a reason. God's perfect plan has a reason behind it. When things are good and when things are bad, it has a reason behind it. Why are you without health? Has a reason. Why did God allow you to have much? I mean, why are you without wealth? It's a reason behind it. Why do you have much wealth? It's a reason for that too. Why did God spare your life? It's a reason for that. There's 100 brothers that done some of the things that we've done, and they didn't come out of it. Amen?
Amen.
They done the same thing we did, and they didn't come out of it. It's a reason for it. But you came out of it, so there's a reason for it. Why are you graduating this program? It's a reason for it. When you graduate this program, it ain't so that you can get back out there. It's so that you can do what God called you to do. Be a witness of Jesus Christ. Point other people in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
God's perfect plan. He has a perfect plan. And I'm going to wrap up with these last two verses. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it. What I shared with you earlier, this is Jesus Christ talking. You can believe Jesus or you can continue to believe the enemy. You can believe Jesus about your life or you can continue to believe the enemy. God has a perfect plan for your lives. He says, verse 27, of John chapter 10, I believe I said. Yep, John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He has a reason. "And I give unto them eternal life." Look at that wonderful reward. He's got eternal life for those who hear his voice and follow him. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You going through, you was an addict, don't matter. You're in Jesus' hand, and shall no man pluck you out of his hand. It's for a reason. Perfect plan. He's got you. Although you did it, he got you. It says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And my Father and I are one." Lastly, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. Don't try to speed it up. Take it all in stride. Listen to hear the voice of God and get direction for your life. That's all I got. Praise Almighty God. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Father, and we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to teach us, Lord, that you have a perfect plan for our lives, Father. We ask that we know that the enemy is going to try to come in and continue to push that guilt garbage on us. Going to try to tell us that we're unworthy, Father. He's going to try to tell us that that preacher up there was just lying. He don't know my problems. He don't know my sorrows, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit come in and crush all of those lies of the enemy, Father. And encourage these brothers of mine in love in this room, Lord. Continue to build them up so they may be able to fulfill what it is, the perfect will for their lives, Lord. That they may carry out your perfect plan for their lives. I ask it all in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.